bag. Wow, I laughed, feeling better just looking at poor, pathetic Max. Some people are very unpleasant in the morning. Motrin, please, he barked, looking at my heaping plate like it offended him. Oh, I cleared my throat. Well, it's not down here, it's in my room. He sighed and whined at the same time, sounding like a child. Here, I slid my key card over to him, trying not to smile. It's on the bathroom counter, room 1213. I'm not going into your room without you. Why not? I asked, scooping some scrambled eggs onto my fork and hoping for the best. It just feels weird. I'll wait until you're done. You look like being in the presence of food is going to make you sick. I'm fine, he said, then added, but stop smiling like this is hilarious. Okay. His eyebrows went down. And don't say okay like I'm a child who needs to be humored. Okay. He growled and I did laugh then, which made him flip me off, while at the same time sliding into a somewhat amused near grin. I wolfed down the food, God, it was exactly what I needed, and then we took the elevator up to my room. Once in the room, I went into the bathroom to grab the Motrin out of my toiletry bag, and when I came out, Max was lying on the bed. One arm over his eyes, the other spread wide. You kind of look like you're dabbing, I said, sitting on the edge of the bed with a plastic cup of water and four tablets in my hand. Totally what I was going for, he said, his voice muffled as if he was already halfway asleep. Sit up and take these. He dropped his arm from his face, groaned, and then sat up. He looked at me while he popped the Motrin into his mouth and drank the water. Good boy, I said, taking the empty cup from his hand and setting it on the bedside table.
We should second sleep, he said, flopping back onto the bed.
What?
Second sleep, like college. Come here and do it with me.
I crossed my arms. Explain, please. He rolled onto his side and opened his eyes. Barely.
I used to wake up with a hangover, go get donuts, eat donuts, then go back to bed for another hour.
Second sleep, I said, nodding my head, thinking he was churlishly adorable when hungover.
I can't explain it, he murmured, eyes closing, but it's the best nap you'll ever have.
I am tired, I said, feeling better than I had when I'd woken up, but not great. He scooted over to the left side of the bed and smacked the right side pillow with his hand.
Hop in.
I wanted to giggle as I ditched my shoes and crawled into bed. Hey Siri, set a timer for 1 hour.
Good girl,
Max said in a deep, sleepy voice, rolling onto his side so he was facing away from me. And I ignored all the things that him saying those words did to my body as I closed my eyes, and proceeded to fall sound asleep. I didn't wake up until my watch buzzed. Dear Lord, when was the last time I'd slept for an uninterrupted hour? And it was then that I felt his arms around me. I opened my eyes to discover we were spooning. Historically, I wasn't a snuggler. In my opinion, an adult couple needed a king-size bed so they could each sleep without having to touch the other. Sex was sex, and sleep was sleep. The two didn't need to intersect. But lying there, with Max holding me like I was his teddy bear, was very nice. It was probably because it was Max, someone that I knew wasn't trying to be romantic. That's probably why I liked it. But I closed my eyes and let myself enjoy it for a few more moments, memorizing the weight of his arms and the feel of his warm breath on the side of my neck as he slept soundly. It was nothing, just a friendly nap, but I didn't want to forget the way it felt. I carefully slid out from under his arms, and Max was obviously exhausted, because when I popped up on the side of the bed and looked down at him, he was still sound asleep. His face was soft and sweet. Boyish, even, as he dozed, and something about it made my heart pinch in my chest. I grabbed my phone and took a photo to use against him later. But when I went into the bathroom to brush my teeth, I looked at the photo and, for some reason, didn't want him to know about it. I kind of just wanted to save it. For me.
Chapter 29 Max. If anyone here knows of any reason why these two, I do. I stood, and then felt Sophie stand beside me and add, "We do, actually." I glanced down at her and felt it again, that burning in my chest. She was wearing a long yellow sundress with dark sunglasses, and she was fucking stunning. I damn near stopped breathing when she'd come out of her room with shiny bare shoulders and clear lip gloss, like a summer nymph who should dance barefoot in fields of sunflowers. That was the sort of shit I kept thinking every time I got near her. It was ridiculous, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do about it. I knew exactly what Sophie wanted. Absolutely nothing. She wanted zero feelings from me, and she had zero feelings for me. So there was nothing for me to do, right? And hell, I'd sworn off relationships. But things with her were so easy, so good, that it seemed a little sad to let it slip away without even trying. When Soph had snuggled against me during our nap, nothing had ever felt as natural as wrapping my arms around her and going back to sleep with my face buried in her strawberry-scented hair. Fuck. What in the fuck was I thinking? The shocked murmur started, and the groom did exactly what he'd said he was going to do. "Can we talk in private?" he said calmly, and the bride looked like she was going to puke. "Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back." The four of us went out through the foyer and into a church office that was obviously where the bride had changed into her dress. Clothing, makeup, hairspray, it littered nearly every surface. But there were six bridesmaids, so that made sense. The groom closed the door behind us and locked it. Sophie crossed her arms like she was cold, and the bride looked uncomfortable, like she didn't know what came next. So, holy shit. The groom, who looked incredibly young, grinned at the bride and said, "We actually did it." She gave him a shaky smile. "I'm scared they're going to talk us out of this, though." He shook his head and reached for her hand. "I won't let them." It didn't make sense to me, but the groom insisted that our quiet objection would be all they'd need. The kids said their families would respect their privacy and allow the reason to be just between the two of them. "So," Sophie said, a tiny crinkle between her eyebrows as she looked at their hands, "what happens now?"
"You guys can take off."
The groom pulled out his wallet, shrugged and said, "We're going to wait back here a while, so it looks like we're having a heart-to-heart before we make it official." He pulled out a stack of cash, which I wished I could refuse because these two had already paid for our accommodations. But I didn't want to take money away from Soph.
"Keep it,"
Sophie said, glancing over at me like she was trying to gauge what my reaction would be to her words. "You already paid for our hotel and flight. Keep the money." Without thinking, I reached over and grabbed her hand, linking my fingers through hers. I hadn't meant to do it, but I just loved what a decent human she was. She looked surprised by the action, her eyes all over my face, and I hoped I hadn't screwed myself with the gesture. But then her fingers squeezed back, and I knew it was okay. "So, what do you want to do now?" Sophie had been quiet on the ride back to the hotel, responding to work emails while I'd watched downtown Detroit rush by through the windows. But now we'd arrived at the hotel. "We could grab some dinner," I suggested as we headed for the elevator, though I still wasn't keen on eating. I hadn't had a hangover in a long-ass time, and the one I'd been blessed with that morning was a doozy. What Sophie didn't know was that after our shenanigans in the stairwell, I'd gone back to the bar and proceeded to drink a little more. Because I couldn't get her out of my fucking head. Of course, the joke was on me because that only made it worse and also made me feel like I'd been run over by a garbage truck. "I'm still not really in the mood for food," she said, as we stopped and waited for the elevator to come down. "But I can keep you company if you're hungry." "God, no," I said, and she grinned at the face I made. "I feel good, but not that good."
"Same."
She pressed the button again, even though I already had, and said,
"Maybe we should turn in early and get a good night's sleep."
I watched her face, searching for some clue that she knew what I was feeling for her and was employing distance. but she looked normal, so I said, "Not a bad idea." The elevator doors opened, and we stepped inside. 12, right? I asked, pressing 9 for me and 12 for her. "Yes," she said. "Thank you." Neither one of us said anything as the elevator started moving. Because I was losing it in regard to Sophie, my brain started tossing scenarios my way. Scenarios that had her and me up against the wall with alarms going off. She looked over at me. "What room are you in again?" I swallowed and knew the electricity crackling in the air was just me. 912. "Ah," she said, giving a nod of her head, dragging her teeth over her lower lip. "Floor niner. Did you just say niner?" "Yes." She nodded again and looked back at the numbers above the door, muttered, "Nines." Her idiotic words made my pulse kick up a notch, because it felt like she was fighting something too. Maybe it was just me, but it felt suffocating in the elevator, like the air was thick with sexual tension. When the doors opened on 9, it pained me to exit. "So, this is me," I said like a moron, stepping out of the elevator and turning to face her. "Max on the niner," she said quietly, almost to herself, as her eyes stayed on the number buttons that lit up the elevator wall. "Are you okay?" I asked, my voice coming out a little gravelly. She refocused her gaze on me and nodded. "Fine, I'm fine. Good night, Max." I swallowed. "Good night, Soph." I felt unsettled as I walked to my room, unsettled and somehow disappointed as I unlocked the door and went inside. I didn't want to leave her, to be in my room without her. It was an asinine thought since we were only friends, but I felt agitated as hell that she wasn't there. I pulled off my dress shirt and tie and was just about to take off the t-shirt when I heard the knock. My heart was pounding as I walked over and pulled open the door. "I don't want to be aggressive," Sophie said, tucking her hair behind her ears and looking up at me with bright eyes. "But I can't stop thinking about it. And I thought if you were also thinking about it, about each of us getting ours, maybe we might want to just do it. Try it. Together." I grabbed her arm and pulled her into the room. "Do what exactly?" I asked as the door shut behind her. I gritted my teeth and dropped my hands as want slammed into me, as she stood there in that yellow sundress in front of me. She bit down on her lower lip, swallowed, and then said, "I'm dying to have sex with myself, Max." I knew she was trying to cut the tension by misphrasing it, but I couldn't smile. Smiling was impossible, as my entire chest seized up. I admitted, "I've fantasized about you doing that." "What?" Her eyes moved over my face, and she asked quietly, "Doing what exactly?" "Sophie Steinbeck," I confessed, lowering my mouth to get a quick taste of her freckled shoulder. "I'm not sure you can handle it." "Oh, I can," she said, and I loved the sound of her shaky breathing as I ran my tongue over her skin. "Tell me." "Let's just say," I managed, sliding down the strap of her dress with fingers damn near trembling with need, "that I really, really like the thought of your pretty hands all over your body." "Well then," she sighed, fisting her hands in the front of my t-shirt as I lowered the other strap at the same time and the dress fell to the floor. "I feel I must tell you that I've started thinking about you every single time." I felt short of breath as I looked at her whiskey eyes, lace lingerie, and sexy heels. "How recently? Tell me." She was shy, but she wasn't, my Sophie, and her eyes were like glowing amber when she said, "Last night." That was it. the end of the slow, flirtatious portion of the program. My mouth found hers, and she rose up to kiss me as if she'd been waiting for me to lose my shit, expecting my demise. I wrapped my arms around her waist and carried her over to the bed while her legs tightened around me, her shoes sliding off and falling to the floor. Her hands moved up to hold my face in place while she kissed the living shit out of me, and a fucking four-alarm fire couldn't have stopped us. I felt lightheaded as I stood there with her perfect ass in my hands and her tongue in my mouth, wanting to burn this moment into my memory so I'd never forget. Because no matter what happened for the rest of our lives, in this moment, in this room, we were on fire for each other. "Soph," I said against her lips, lowering her to the bed, crawling over her, and bridging myself on my arms above her. "Tell me how to do this." She slid her feet up on the bed so her knees were bent, framing my body, and she pulled her mouth away slightly. "You don't know, Parks?" "Oh, I fucking know," I said, wanting to explore every single inch of her as I looked down at lace and soft skin. "But this is yours, remember? How do you want to have sex for yourself?" She looked surprised for a second, like she hadn't expected that question. But then those gorgeous lips turned up into a hot, wicked smile, and I proceeded to forget my own name.
Chapter 30. Sophie. Sex for myself. My instinctive reaction was to defer because I'd never called the shots in the bedroom. I mean, yes, I'd had my moments and was a big fan of the activity overall, but this was uncharted territory for me. I'd never taken charge. However, the results of my kissing experiment made me bold. "Well, for starters," I said, my voice husky like I'd never heard it, "I'm the only one nearly naked here. Lose the shirt." He didn't say a word, but the flare of his nostrils made my stomach flip. He sat back on his heels, grabbed the collar of his white t-shirt, and pulled it over his head. And holy fucking pectorals! Max's torso was immaculate, a long, wide V like the man was an Olympic swimmer. I had the urge to bite his taut stomach. His eyes were positively smoldering as he reached for his belt, but I wanted to do it. I sat up on my knees so we were facing each other, and I took over. The rigidity of his jaw as I touched his buckle, as I slid the leather belt through the silver rectangle and unlatched the metal pin, dropped goosebumps over my skin. My fingers were shaking as I slowly released the leather from the clasp, careful not to touch those rock-hard abs as I unthreaded the long strap and pulled it free. He didn't move, but he sucked in a breath. I unbuttoned and unzipped, and when his suit pants fell to the bed, I cleared my throat. Holy fucking Calvin Klein boxer briefs. Good God almighty! His thighs were corded and muscular, and I suddenly felt like I was in over my head. Like, was I equipped to deal with this high-def version of a male specimen? "Question," he said, his voice thick as he leaned over me, using his body to nudge me right back to the pillows behind me. "I don't want to mess with what you want, but I need to touch you." "It's about both of us getting ours," I said, raising my hands to his shoulders and pulling him down. "So you can totally." His hungry mouth cut me off, slanting over mine and feeding me kisses that were almost desperate in their passion. I dug my heels into the bed and ground my body against his, earning a sexy groan as I met his wild lips, taste for taste, bite for bite. I didn't know if it was possible to literally consume another person, to absolutely inhale them into your body, but I was trying. Dear God. "You are killing me," he breathed into my mouth, and I arched my back as he unhooked my strapless bra and tossed it off the bed. His eyes were all over me. I could almost feel them on my skin, and instead of waiting, I drove my hands into his hair and guided his mouth exactly where I wanted it.
My head fell back on the pillows as his mouth did magical things to me, his tongue moving over me as if it already knew exactly what I liked. And when I opened my eyes, the fiery way he watched me while tasting my skin was almost too much to bear. I was burning alive, and all he had was kindling. Things started blurring together then, because he slid lower, dragging his mouth down my body while removing the one scrap of lace that remained. Instead of controlling my reactions or thinking about them at all, I was lost to sensation. I moaned, I growled, I clawed, and I screamed. Everything in the world melted away except his hands, his mouth, the sounds he made, and my body's explosive reactions. When I dragged his mouth back up to me, kissing him in a mindless fervor because I was mad with lust and reached for him, he grabbed my hand. I needed him, was frantic to touch every single inch of him, but he rasped against my lips, sounding like his teeth were clenched. "You cannot touch me, Steinbeck, without shattering me." "I want to watch you shatter," I said, so turned on by the flush of his cheeks and the hair that had fallen forward onto his brow. He looked like sex and pleasure, like the wanton ruler of everything I needed at that moment. "I," he said, moving his mouth to my ear and biting down on the lobe, "want to shatter inside you." "Yes, God." Heat flooded my body, even hotter than the already molten burn that was licking through my nerve endings. My eyes closed, and all I could manage was, "Max, please." Thank God he knew what that meant, because he left me for but a moment before I heard the ripping of a wrapper, and he was back. He was above me again, planking on roped arms, and then he slid deep inside my body. I moaned at the sensation, the glorious feel of too much being exactly right. His body stacked pleasure and pain on top of each other, where one braided into the other to weave the perfect sensation, and I snaked my legs around his hips to pull him even closer. He groaned, obviously appreciating the changed angle as he froze for a moment, his jaw clenched. "I might die from this, Soph."
"From what?" I said on a breath as he started moving.
"From you being more than I've ever even known to fucking fantasize about." His breathing was choppy, his words mere pants as his body went off.
"This is madness."
I reached up and pulled his mouth down to mine again, needing to fall into the wet suction of his kisses as he destroyed me with pleasure. We kissed like battle, ferocious and violent, while our bodies meshed like lifelong lovers who fit perfectly together. Every movement was exactly what I needed, every touch a response to my body's demands. And his words were stoking the flames, higher and higher, amping the heat inside me like a witch with a spell. Max wasn't a dirty talker, but he was a foul-mouthed cheerleader, a fervent supporter of my body's acceptance of his.
"Fuck. Yes, honey, you feel so fucking good. Holy shit, yes, fuck. Sophie, fuck, yes, Soph, that's fucking perfect."
I don't know why, but his voice, cursing in my ear as his body crashed into mine, sent bolts of lightning through every single one of my nerve endings. And when the wave slammed into me, pulling me under and sending 1,000 stars to the darkened sky behind my eyes, I kissed him harder and brought him with me.
Chapter 31. Max. What in God's name was that? I wrapped my arms around Sophie's waist and tugged her closer as I pulled the comforter over us. Said into her hair, "What was what?" She snuggled her back into my front, and I wasn't sure I'd ever been more comfortable. Spooning with Sophie after coming so hard I nearly blacked out was suddenly my happy place. That wasn't sex. I've had sex before, but what we just did transcended sex. Like, I'm just not sure how it could have been that good.
5 minutes later and I'm already doubting my recollection because it's not possible that something was that excellent. She wasn't wrong. It was better, I said, and I meant it. For real. I cannot believe, she said, rolling over in my arms, squirming until we were face to face, that getting our sex is so mind-boggling. I'm so happy to have you with me on this journey of self-discovery, Maxie. She grinned at her own joke, but something about her statement irritated me. Not that the sex had been mind-boggling. I was, in fact, good and truly boggled, but that it was great because of the whole getting ours theory. Did she not recognize the genuine chemistry at play? Surely she felt it, even if she wasn't willing to call it by its name. Right? Happy to be along for the ride, I said, meaning that, too. I didn't know what to make of these sudden, intense feelings I had for her, but I wasn't going to let them get in the way of what Soph and I already had. As if that made any fucking sense at all. We fell asleep like that, with no lights on other than the TV she insisted I turn on because she couldn't sleep to quiet, and I didn't move a muscle the entire night until I felt her kiss my forearm in the morning. Soph, I asked, my voice not really there yet. I was instantly aware of how soft her skin felt against mine, of everywhere our bodies were pressed together. I didn't want to make any assumptions, so I wasn't going to touch her, but it was torture, lying still with Sophie in my arms, and my eyes weren't even open yet. Yes, she whispered, and I wanted to bury my face in her hair and go back to sleep. What time is it? I asked, opening my eyes while not wanting to know because I didn't want to leave that bed. We both had morning flights, but the last thing I wanted to do was go back to whatever existed before this. 5, she said softly, and she pressed another kiss on my arm. Why in God's name did that tiny gesture make my chest pinch? 5, I swallowed, the pinch lingering as the intimate familiarity of waking up with her felt precious. She yawned, one hand covering her mouth while her body stretched into mine, and I froze. God help me, I wanted her again, even though I needed to get up and into the shower. I know we need to get up, but I was thinking... She trailed off. What? My pulse immediately kicked into high gear, even though I knew she probably just wanted me to call the front desk or go get her dress. She cleared her throat. I wouldn't hate, or that is, if you were also interested, fucking tell me, Soph, I said into her hair, feeling like every muscle in my body was coiled and waiting, straining for her to say the word go. Tell me what you want. I want you, she said, her voice lowering to a whisper, to slide inside me, right now. Done. My mouth was on her skin instantly, my hands skimming over her front while I kissed her delicate shoulder blade. She arched her back and pressed her body against me, and I was so fucking grateful the nightstand was within an arm's reach because I did not want to leave that bed. Not even for a second. When I did as she asked, going deep and wondering how anything could feel that fucking good, the sound she made, a gasp that morphed into a moan, set my skin on fire as she pushed back against me. Soph, I managed, unsure what I was even trying to say because the squeeze of her body made thinking impossible. Nothing in the universe mattered, except for where we were joined and the deep, hot slide of our bodies together. It went from 0 to 60 in an instant, from slow and sleepy to a panting sprint that had my fingers digging into her hips and her mouth cursing like a filthy sailor. Holy hell! She turned onto her stomach
Then I followed, trailing kisses on her back as her body held me tight, the intensity going through the roof as she reared back against me and raised to her knees. Good God, she knows her angles, I thought, as I clenched my teeth and grabbed her harder, pulled her closer, fighting for control as her body fucking stripped mine of everything but pleasure, of feeling anything other than her. But as I bit down on her shoulder blade, my eyes met hers in the mirror above the refrigerator, and I was undone.
Chapter 32. Sophie. Max, I'm bored. I smiled as I sat in the chair waiting. My flight didn't board for 45 more minutes, and Max had twice as long before his did. He offered to change my flight so I could fly direct into Omaha with him instead of going through Chicago all by myself, but something about that felt weird. Relationshipy. We were just friends, and friends said goodbye and went on the separate flights they'd booked separately before the trip. I told him exactly that, which made him frown, but quietly agree. I was mildly obsessed with the way our friendship had changed recently. It had happened slowly, but Max had become my favorite person. Not only did I look forward to any time I could hang out with him, but we'd just had mind-blowingly good sex and everything was still exactly the same with us. Who needed a relationship when you could have friendship like this? I texted, I just left you 5 minutes ago. How can you be bored already? Have you even reached your gate yet? I'd given him a see you later when we'd exited security and had to report to two separate terminals, but that had felt weird too, for the opposite reason. It felt very strange to be all see you later with the man I'd watched doing me in a hotel mirror 2 hours before. My stomach flipped over at the memory. I'd been absolutely lost in what Max was doing to my body on his king-size bed. The man was like a gifted sexual overachiever. But then I'd opened my eyes, watched him. I wouldn't normally consider myself a visual person when it came to sex. I didn't watch porn, wasn't into naughty pictures, and had never, God please no, wanted to see myself on camera. But witnessing him like that, looking like some sort of mythological sex god as he towered behind me, grimacing as if holding onto his control was the most difficult thing he'd ever had to do, had ended me. It was hands down the sexiest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. Max, I'm at my gate and bored. There's a man next to me who really wants me to ask about the book he's reading and making noises about it. I refuse, BTW. Me. Maybe just say, I hated that book. Max, I will not engage. Also, I miss your body. I literally gasped. It was small and quiet, so no one around me appeared to have heard, but I hadn't expected him to bring up the sex. After the kisses by his truck and at the diner, he'd seemed shocked that I'd dared to mention them. So now he was bringing up my body, which he'd meticulously explored with all of his important parts? Me. And it misses you. So, what do we think about friends with benefits? Still bad? Max. Yes. Wow, he hadn't paused for a second. No lingering conversation bubbles at all. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed. I knew friends with benefits never worked, and society generally considered it to be a terrible idea. But we were different. We were both absolutely uninterested in anything other than what we had right now. So for us, it could be different, right? Logically, I knew I had to be wrong, because if it was possible, more people would do it. But as a person who was incredibly interested in more sex with Max, I thought it had merit. I texted, even though we both know it's purely physical? Max, even though. It's a colossally bad idea that I would never consider. I bit down on my lip and felt a little wounded, to be honest. It couldn't have been as good for him as it had been for me, because if it had, he would be struggling with the idea. I texted, fine. In the infamous words of Callie the Redneck Bride, I only wanted your penis. Max, it's love. What?
I said to myself under my breath, then noticed the man across from me looking at me like I was strange. But what the hell did Max mean? It's love? Max. Callie said she only loved his penis.
Oh. Okay.
So he wasn't tossing around the word love. He was correcting me on the quote.
Okay.
That made sense.
Chapter 33. Max. Friends with benefits would never be an option. Not that I don't want more sex with Sophie, I thought, as the man beside me made yet another mewling noise in response to whatever he was reading. Since the minute she'd climbed out of my bed that morning, my brain had been compiling an exhaustive list of everything I still wanted to do with her. Take a shower together, have sex in the shower, have sex in the elevator, take a bath together, wash her hair, spend an entire night together, have sex on my kitchen counter, have sex on my kitchen table, have sex on my balcony, take her to dinner. I could literally go on all day. Side note, she'd had the same idea about the shower, so we'd already taken care of that one. But there was no way we were going to add sex to our strategic friendship, because I couldn't handle it. We were friends who accidentally fell into sex, but I refused to be friends who casually had sex to scratch an itch. She might be absolutely emotionally unaffected by our intimacy, but I was anything but. The truth was that I half suspected I was in love with her already. I still thought love was for suckers, and relationships were an outlandish risk too treacherous to be worth the reward, but in spite of that, she was all I could think about. All the time. I'd even had the fleeting thought, while wrapped around her sleeping body at 5:30 this morning, post-shower, that it might not be so bad to explore a hybrid situation. Not a relationship per se, but friendship with a side helping of something more. Not romance, but sex that meant something. And monogamy. But I knew this made zero fucking sense. If I said those words to her, she would point out that I'd described a traditional romantic relationship. Which I had. And she would be gone so fast. Regardless, I was just going to have to suck it up and ignore those feelings. Easy peasy, right? Sophie. Are you trying to get me to say that I love your penis? I coughed out a laugh, which made Book Guy look up and smile at me like we were kindred spirits. I texted, "You don't have to say it. I could tell." Sophie, I won't commit to the L word, Mr. Arrogant, even if it's only in regard to genitalia, but I will openly admit to being obsessed with every single thing we did in that bed. I scratched my eyebrow and felt her words in my chest. Texted, hard same. And then I wondered, could physical desire and being denied what your body wanted have the power to change your emotions, to make you explore them a little more deeply? I thought about Soph's interest in Friends with Benefits. I thought about the way she kissed me at Shirley's and in the hotel stairwell. There was no question that we wanted each other physically. So if we shut that down completely, would Sophie be forced to recognize that she had emotions for me outside of sex?
Chapter 34. Sophie. I told Larry and Karen and Joanne everything the minute I walked into the apartment, because for the entire flight home, including the extensive 5-hour layover in Chicago, my brain had been filled with explicit images of Max. I couldn't seem to think about anything but the things he'd said and done, both to and with me, so I needed to unburden myself if I was ever going to recover. I sat down at the table and spilled it all, right down to my stairwell admission that I'd brought condoms with me to Detroit, and Larry got so pissed at me for not listening that he took the cats for a walk, leaving me alone in the apartment. Rose was at a Nelly concert with her nephew. So I went for a run at 8 p.m., hoping that would clear my head. but 10 minutes in, my phone buzzed. Max. Did I just see you run by? I looked over my shoulder, but didn't see him behind me. I slowed to a stop, stepped over on the sidewalk, and texted, Where are you? Max. On my balcony. I glanced down at the street, and I swear to God, you sprinted past me. No way. I responded with, Which building is yours exactly? I knew he said he lived pretty close to me, but I didn't know precisely where. Max. Jackson Lofts. What? He did not live in the Jackson Lofts. Technically, his building was only a few blocks from mine, but a few blocks up freaking town. I texted, You live in the old market? Max. Yeah. I knew Max had a good job at a firm his dad either owned or was a partner in, but those lofts were it. Exposed beams, high ceilings, big windows, and in the center of the coolest part of the city. How could he afford a place like that? Me. I had no idea you were so fancy. Max. Fuck right off. You should come up. My heart skittered to a near stop, both from the idea of going into his house and also the combination of the word fuck and him inviting me to his abode. I texted, You just want to have sex with me again. I grabbed my foot and stretched while I waited for his response, wondering if he'd changed his mind while knowing that he absolutely had not. Max. We will not be doing that, Steinbeck, but come up and we'll discuss. Oh. This sounded fun. Did I really want to subject myself to his friendly rejection? I've run 5 miles since you saw me, totally on the other side of town by now. Max, I expect to hear your buzz in no less than 4 minutes. I sighed and texted, Fine. When I got to his building 3 minutes later, I walked through the 2 big glass doors and pressed the button for Parks 504 in the vestibule. Take the elevator to 5, I heard. Thanks, I muttered, grinning as I walked over to the elevators. As the car traveled up to the 5th floor, I realized I was nervous. Why was I nervous? This was my friend Max, the partner in crime I always felt comfortable with, even when he was looking at me naked. So why were butterflies going wild in my stomach as the doors opened on the 5th floor? I knocked on his door, but when it opened, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for the absolute kick in the sternum it was to come face to face with the man I'd been having sexual replays about all day. He was wearing those glasses again, God help my lady parts, with a plain gray t-shirt and a pair of black basketball shorts. Very innocuous outfit, but on him it was the male equivalent of lingerie. The shirt was soft and loose but clung to his broad chest, the baggy shorts a foil for the hard muscles of his strong thighs. And he smelled freshly showered, reminding me of 14 hours ago when I'd showered with him. And thoroughly explored those rock-hard thighs with my mouth. Hi, I said, feeling like a complete slob in my messy ponytail and threadbare Huskers t-shirt. Hi, he replied, pulling the door open further and giving me a very nice smile. Come in. Gee, thanks. I said, not really sure why I was being sarcastic, but feeling a little off-kilter. I walked into his condo, and holy shit. He lived in a corner unit, so the living room had full floor-to-ceiling windows on 2 sides. Luxurious hardwood floors made from something unique like bocote, brick walls, exposed ductwork. It looked like the New Girl apartment, but bigger and filled with sleek, minimalist furniture. Nice place. I cleared my throat and tried to be cool while I looked over at a kitchen that was like the size of my apartment, and I lived in a good apartment, damn it. There was a huge mid-century modern kitchen table with 8 chairs around it, carved out of textured contemporary wood. It was the kind of piece you'd see in Architectural Digest, not in the apartment of an under-30 bachelor. Thanks, he said, leading me toward the kitchen. Do you want something to drink? Beer? Water? Water would be great, thank you. I leaned my hip against the large center island and set my phone on the marble countertop. He took a glass from one of his cupboards and filled it. So, how's Larry? Did you tell him what we did? My mouth dropped wide open when he turned around, because how could he know me that well? He grinned and shut off the faucet. So you did. What did he think? That were Captain Dipshit and the brainless twit, to quote him, I said, taking the water from him. Please tell me I'm the captain. You wish, twit. A huge orange tabby walked into the kitchen, meowing loudly. Oh my God, I said, dropping to a squat as the adorable beast came right toward me. What's its name? That's Cookie, he said, as his cat immediately started purring loudly when I petted his head. He's kind of an asshole. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I said, as the little guy leaned his face into my scratch. He is a cat, Steinbeck, not my offspring. Says you, I murmured as the cat rubbed against my legs and then ran in the other direction. Sit, Max said, pulling out a stool for me. When I sat, he took the stool beside me and jerked mine closer to his, so we were facing each other and his legs were kind of around mine. I suddenly didn't remember words, couldn't recall why I was there or what I'd even been doing a second before, because his muscular legs that slept with mine all night long were now almost touching them again. So, let's talk about the sex. His voice was casual, but there was electricity crackling all around us in his kitchen. I felt like the tiniest touch could set me off. The ruby-red match tip, dragging against the friction, teasing out a fizzing flame. I'm not going to rate you, I said, my body doubling down on its nervousness as he smirked at me like he could hear my every thought. So if this discussion is meant to be an ego stroke for you, I'm out. Soph. His face remained unchanged in its patient, overconfident, knowing smirk. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. We are. He raised an eyebrow. You sure about that? I sighed because it was obvious he was going to make his speech regardless of what I said. Tell me what's on your page then. Okay. He rubbed his stubbled jaw. So when you said that kissing me was the most sexually gratifying thing that's happened to you, it completely knocked me on my ass. Damn it, damn it, damn it. I thought, regretting the admission. Because I realized I feel the exact same way. You do? Regret rescinded. Absolutely. Every time we kiss, it's like a fucking experience. Like this event that gets tripped up on an infinite loop in my head every minute I'm awake. Oh. Wow. He described it perfectly. I'd had plenty of good kisses in my life, but he was right. The kisses with him were events. No, not events. Events were too ordinary. Kisses with Max were like holidays, like birthdays, like monumental butterfly-inducing extravaganzas. All I can think about, he said, his eyes dropping to my lips for a second, is what it was like to kiss you, and when I'll get to do it again. Same, I agreed, shocked by his honesty but grateful for it. It felt nice to not play any games. Maybe it was because we knew it was going nowhere that it felt safe to talk about it so freely. But now sex is in the picture. I don't know how or why, but last night, and this morning, fucking dropped me. If the kisses destroyed my ability to think about anything other than your mouth, then the sex has obliterated every corner of my consciousness. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't pure serotonin, the way he made me feel when he said that. Maybe it was just because I'd felt so unwanted after Stuart, but hearing those words warmed me from the inside. Sounds like Maxie is obsessed with me, I teased. That's kind of what I'm worried about, smartass, he said, setting his palms on my knees and squeezing ever so lightly. The warmth of his hands immediately awakened all the nerve endings in my body. I know you don't believe in love or flowery romantic feelings, but I do. I think they suck and I don't want anything to do with them, but I know they're out there. And I know that I'm playing with fire every time my mouth and my hands touch your body. I felt a little lightheaded. Are you saying that, he just watched me, his eyes daring me to utter the words. I shouldn't say it, but suddenly I wanted to know. I took a deep breath. You think you could fall for me if we...
I do.
His voice was quiet but resolute, as if he'd given this a lot of thought and there was no doubt.
And neither of us want that, right?
I got a little stuck looking at him, and it was tough to break our eye contact. We didn't want that, right? I inhaled through my nose and swallowed. Right, I managed, but my voice cracked and barely had sound to it. He thinks he could fall in love with me?
So you agree that we should stop?
His eyes were intense and hot as he waited for my answer, almost as if he wanted me to say no. But that would mean... no. He definitely didn't want me to say no. I nodded and my knees pressed into the front edge of his stool. He was so close, his mouth right there, and I felt almost, hell, almost sad at the thought of never kissing it again. I do, I said, my voice a near whisper as I felt sleepy tipsy. The pads of his fingers were warm on my skin, and I leaned forward just a little, my eyes distracted by his mouth. But do you think we should... What? He replied quietly, his fingers tightening as he leaned forward to meet me where our breaths hovered, suspended in the shared space between our lips. I don't know. I breathed. Maybe have one last kiss? Just as a farewell to...
to...
he said in a near whisper, his eyes on my mouth. To... whatever this was?
Steinbeck,
was all he said as his lips found mine, the teasing nip of his teeth, the slide of his tongue, the way his hands traced up my thighs and flexed for grip. It was familiar and comfortable, this sweet pull of lust, and I reached for his face, wanting to feel his hard jaw as I held him in place.
It's probably not a good idea,
he said against my lips, raising his hands to push the hair from my face. My thighs missed the pressure of his hands immediately, the hot familiarity of his grip on me. It's not, I said, meaning it as a question, but it came out as a sigh as he lifted his lips off mine. I could still feel them, hovering just above my mouth, as if waiting for a word or a command that would change his mind. His eyes were dark and unreadable, gazing down at me, and my fingers itched to pull him back.
So, we'll just...
he said, lowering his hands.
Not do that anymore, right?
I felt like I was waking up from a dream as I wrestled with being disappointed that we weren't kissing and utterly blown away by his confession that he thought he could fall for me. I cleared my throat. Correct.
We can still play it up for social media and everyone else, though, since it seems to be working.
He turned his stool back to the counter, stood, and went over to the refrigerator, moving with that long, relaxed gait that made it seem like nothing concerned him. Absolutely, I said, gathering my wits about me and standing.
You sure you don't want a beer?
He opened the industrial-sized fridge and grabbed one for himself. No thanks, I should get going. I needed to get out of there. Why did I feel so shaky?
Any shot of you letting me go with you, just to make sure you get home okay? He asked.
Nope, I said, needing a little distance. I've got Mace and I steer clear of dark alleys.
And you've got that headlock, he said, giving me a knowing smile as we both remembered that first wedding. I pity the idiot who tries messing with you.
Right. I picked up my phone and opened Spotify, returning to where I'd been in my running playlist as he came back to my side.
R.I.P. them.
Wait. His finger slid over my app, searching until he found another playlist.
Try mine.
I tried taking a deep breath, but my lungs seemed to be broken as I looked up at his face, so close as he messed with my phone. His finger traced over my screen and my eyes followed, fixated on the motion. My heartbeat trapped in my throat as I remembered the way his fingertips felt on my skin. His knowing eyes lifted to mine, and his voice was soft when he said,
There, give that a shot.
Ah, thanks. As I ran home on shaky legs, Max's music pounding in my ears, I couldn't get things right in my head. Everything he said made perfect sense, and it was the correct way for us to proceed, not carrying on with the physical part of our relationship. But for some reason, it felt wrong. Maybe it was just because it had been so good between us, but it felt like we were cutting something important from our relationship, like we were losing a closeness, even though that something hadn't even been a part of our relationship before. Although, shit, we didn't have a relationship at all, did we? Clearly, I was tired because words like relationship were entering my thoughts when it came to me and Max, which was absurd. We were just friends, and that was all. Right?
Chapter 35. Max. Look at this. I glanced up as my dad charged into my office with his phone in his hand, a satisfied grin on his face. I would like to introduce you, he said, shoving his phone in front of my face, to my new favorite son. I glanced down and, no, he hadn't adopted a baby. My father was showing me a boat. Made an offer on this baby an hour ago. Isn't it gorgeous? I sat back in the chair and took the phone from his hand. It was a 27-foot red pontoon boat. That's a hell of a lot of boat for someone who's never had a boat, I said, just to mess with him. May I repeat, new favorite son? It's beautiful, I said, handing back his phone. Does Mom know? She's already requested it be called the Lorna, he said, grinning. So you seriously made an offer? What did this mean exactly? With her permission? And I have you to thank, he said, for all the milk. Holy shit. I rubbed my eyebrow and said, See, I set up notifications on my phone, so I know every time you or Sophie post something. He looked proud of his tech savviness. You bet your ass I run and show your mother every single one. That made me feel a little dishonest. We're just friends, Dad. I don't want her to get the wrong idea. I wasn't sure why I was sabotaging myself with that correction, but I didn't like the feeling of tricking my own mother. And she knows that. I tell her every time that you're just friends. And do you know what she says? What? I asked, not sure what I wanted the answer to be. She says she knows, but she has a good feeling about it. She says that as long as you have Sophie as a friend, she thinks she might be ready. For what? I asked, unable to believe my ears. I'm not sure, but it's about damn time. He started laughing, and the man was obviously giddy about the possibility of retiring in the near future. She started emailing the golf courses near the Florida house about league info, so I'm just quietly waiting for her to schedule the movers. That made me feel like less of an asshole, since they both deserved a relaxing life of retirement. In fact, maybe it was time for Sophie and me to kick it up a notch.
Chapter 36. Sophie. This is adorable, right? Max straightened from where he was leaning against his truck as I got out of my car. Disgustingly cute. Dear Lord, the man looked good in casual date clothes. He was wearing jeans, a nice black t-shirt that showed off the width of his hard chest, and dark sunglasses. The man looked very good. I wasn't sad when he texted that morning to see if I wanted to meet up to get more pictures for social media. Spending time with Max was my new favorite thing, and if it helped his career and mine, I considered it a win-win. How do you know about this place? Do you take all your lady friends out for paddle boating? I locked my car and we started walking toward the marina building. Or is it pedal? I think it's referred to as paddle boating, but you have to pedal, so I'm kind of at a loss. Same. I glanced over at him. Should I have changed? How intensive is the pedal situation? I was still in the black sheath and polka dot wedges I'd worn to work, We'd agreed to meet at 6:30, so I'd come straight from the office. I'm glad you didn't change. I like that dress, he said, and even though I couldn't see his eyes behind his sunglasses, I could feel them on me. And you'll be fine. We're here for photos, not speed records. True. I could smell his cologne, and memories of his hotel room flashed through my mind as I attempted to not spontaneously combust while we approached the marina. So your dad is really buying the boat?
He said he made an offer.
Max put his hand on my lower back as we walked through the arch that led to where the boats were tied up, and the heat of his fingers messed with my head. My brain wanted to linger and remember all the places those fingers had touched, but I snapped back into focus when he said,
I seriously can't believe our plan is working, Steinbeck.
Me either, I said, squinting in the evening sun, wishing I'd brought my sunglasses. It was a warm evening, still in the 80s, and the sun was bright on the water. He pulled tickets out of his pocket and gave them to the scrawny kid with the mohawk manning the boats. His name tag said Dewey, who looked at me and asked,
Do you want a pink one?
I heard Max's snort, which made me reply, No, but maybe this guy does.
I would love a pink one, thank you,
Max said, his mouth sliding easily into a smile. Damn, but he has a great smile. Would you mind taking a picture of us? I asked Dewey. Max turned to me and said,
Can I pick you up?
What?
Fireman's hold would be funny, don't you think?
He looked so into the idea that his face had transformed itself into an expression a six-year-old would wear upon seeing a unicorn.
It'll look like I'm throwing you into the boat.
But you're not a fireman.
I think he just means when a guy throws a girl over his shoulder.
Dewey explained to me as if I were a moron. Apparently Dewey didn't understand sarcasm, at least not from me, because he said slowly,
It's called a fireman's hold.
I could tell Max was trying hard not to laugh.
Duh, Sophie.
I shrugged and said, Fine, toss me over your shoulder, Parks.
Atta girl.
Max lowered his torso and then boom, just like that I was dangling over his shoulder like I weighed nothing. The kid took a picture of Max with my ass in his face, and when he set me down and we looked at his phone, neither one of us could hold in our cackles, because Max was grinning from ear to ear like an obnoxious woman-hauling caveman, and I was making a face like he was absolutely annoying, but I secretly loved it. Something about the shot was so us, as if we were an us, that I kind of wanted to print it off and put it in a frame. You look like a jackass in that picture. I teased as I put my keys and phone into my pockets so they didn't end up in the bottom of the murky pond.
And you look like you're being abducted by a jackass,
he agreed, putting his phone away. I might just have to frame it and hang it in my office. You would. When we got in the paddle boat and started pedaling, we took a few selfies. They were flirty and cute, exactly the friends but is it more vibe we wanted for social media. But then we each proceeded to forget all about the reason behind the visit because he said one very stupid thing.
Thank God I don't skip leg day, because you are really a slack-ass co-pilot, Steinbeck.
I don't consider myself obsessively competitive, but I'm self-aware enough to know that I do have a few issues regarding members of the male species when they behave as if they're stronger slash faster slash smarter than me. I knew he was just joking, but I started pedaling my ass off.
Oh, it's like that, is it?
Max gave me a mused side eye and started going harder on his pedals. Hell yes it is, I countered, and it was on. The paddle boat had two separate propulsion systems, which meant that it was absolutely possible to see who was paddling faster, because one side of the boat jutted farther ahead than the other. Our little vessel looked asinine as he and I pedaled as fast as either one of us had ever pedaled before. My spin instructor would be proud as fuck.
Keep trying, Sunshine. You'll get there,
Max said. Well, panted, actually.
It's like your eyes don't work or something. My side is clearly beating your side.
Optical illusion, Soph. Look again.
Fuck.
Hold up. Time out.
I said, breathing hard, as I reached out a hand to grasp his thigh so he'd stop pedaling.
The footwear makes it unfair. We're both going to take off our shoes and start again.
He frowned.
Why would I take off my shoes when they're perfectly fine?
Because it's unfair that you'll be wearing athletic footwear when I will be barefoot.
I looked to my right and suddenly he was grinning. I continued with, that makes it a level playing field, unless you're so pathetic that you need an unfair advantage. Oh no, he said, still beaming, and I wished I could see his eyes behind his shades. I loved the way his eyes looked when he grinned. Not only did they have that whole mischievous twinkle thing going on, but they crinkled in a way that made it impossible not to smile back at him.
My mere existence is advantage enough.
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Quit puking and let's go, kid, he said,
and then he started removing his shoes. One of my favorite things about him was the way he was able to just roll with the punches. Max was willing to jump headfirst into anything without getting rattled, and compared to Stuart, who lost his mind when things didn't go perfectly according to his meticulous